Hello and welcome to another episode of the Manchester is Red podcast. This week I'm joined again by Charlotte Dunker.
Hello, my voice has returned this week.
It's another comeback for Kieran Kelly.
Hello, thank you.
Obviously, Manchester United lost to Bale in midweek. It wasn't a particularly significant defeat in that, despite all these permutations, which you, Charlotte, had to rinse and check and double check and triple check.
They might have got one wrong.
Yes. I don't know about that. I think it was pretty thorough. They are going to go through. So it didn't feel like a terrible defeat at the time. But what was terrible, or who were terrible, were fullbacks. Yeah. Matteo Darmian and Daily Blind. There was that great clip of Darmian delivering an
great,
awful cross.
In an awful way.
an awful cross in, and then Daily Blind comes at the far post and he puts a cross in that goes out. Have played for a goal kick. In terms of fullbacks there, Kieran, you've done a piece on them. Are they going to need a kind of City-style overhaul there, whereby obviously City got rid of four in the summer, or four left, and the fullbacks have come in there, and even legislating for Mendy's injury, it seems have completely transformed their attack?
Yeah. At the time, I think, I looked at it kind of like a football manager style thing where they literally in one window swapped out all their fullbacks. It was a bit drastic, but you have to say it's paid off, even though they're playing Fabian Delph left back, who has been one of the best left backs of the season, ironically. With United, you're kind of feeling that, particularly with Shaw inevitably going, it seems now that they will have to get at least two fullbacks in, and that's without even addressing the fact that Valencia and Young now are getting on, despite being so brilliant and being at the heart of all their creative and attacking play this season and being so solid defensively. You're thinking, well, in the long run, say Danny Rose might not be enough. But the trick is, United traditionally wouldn't spend that much in one window, let alone on defenders. Yeah. So they're really going to have to go big this summer when you think that they're probably going to go for a marquee forward as well. So I think it'll be a good test of Mourinho's footing when you think of the Fellaini saga that's rolling on, obviously one of his favourite players. Those tensions over Perisic, over money, over contracts. Could this be another thing that rears its head, the fact that he'll want, you know, maybe three or four players worth up to 200 million?
Because in some ways you've got to argue that those wing-back positions are just as important as getting another creative midfielder, because obviously when Pogba was out and everyone was saying, oh, no one's creating any chances, if you've got two creative wing-backs getting crosses in, then at least that's going to alleviate some of the problems. Yeah. When Pogba came off on Wednesday, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, Wednesday. And then you've got two players playing at the back that can't seem to cross a ball in very well. That's where you've got a lot of problems, because there's nobody but create opportunities in other ways. So, like, everyone's saying, oh, we need a backup for Pogba, but also, like you say, they're going to have to spend big at the back as well. But is the budget going to allow? Yeah. Where would you prioritise out of those?
It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, the irony, as you say, with the crossing, is that United have actually scored quite a lot of goals from crosses this season. And Darmian actually, in fairness to him, put a decent one in for Ibrahimovic towards the end of the game, which he probably could have done better with. I think Woodward said in February that there wouldn't be as much churn under Mourinho after what happened with Van Gaal, where he was utterly ruthless, really. But you look at the four left-backs, Darmian is just going to be a squad player at best, you'd think. You'd probably say the same with Daily Blind, who's played his best football under Mourinho at centre-back. Luke Shaw is the only specialist there, but
he's
doesn't get a look in.
Probably, yeah.
Ashley Young is the auxiliary option, but I mean, United will extend his contract there, but he's not going to be a long-term solution for
he's
it.
He's 31 now, isn't he?
I think he's 32. But in terms of that quartet, who would you sell? Who would you sell, and who do you think will go next year?
I think Luke Shaw is going to leave, but I wouldn't. He wouldn't be my choice, Steve.
No, that's not surprising.
I would sell Darmian, because I think that, like you say, Daily Blind's best football has been played in the centre. He's a useful squad player. If you got in a bit of a crisis in the middle at the back, he could step in better than I think than Darmian could in that position. But then Darmian's, I know he's been playing on the left, but he can also play on the right. But no, I'd stick with Darmian. Who would you sell?
I'd agree with Darmian. I and also I agree. I think Shaw is the one who's going to go, what must become particularly galling for him, it's almost as if there's a monthly new nadir for Shaw, is that he was in the matchday squad against Newcastle on Saturday, and Darmian and Blind aren't. Mm. Then Darmian and Blind come back into the squad against Bale, and they start, and he's still on the bench. I mean, I saw Phil Neville say he's not really grabbing his opportunity, Luke Shaw, but he's not even getting any.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking ahead now, and probably the only potential game is maybe that Bristol City one, and then even then he didn't start either of the Carabao Cup games against arguably similar opposition in Burton and Swansea, in terms of, you know, you can risk rotating a bit. So I think for me personally, it's just whether he goes in January or the summer. I think it's gotten to that stage that even when he's in and around the squad, whether it be luck or fate, it's just not falling for him. And indeed, when he does play, he's as I said before, he's almost second guessing himself. You know, you kind of forget Shaw was this, you know, swashbuckling, really enterprising, one of the most exciting fullbacks in the world. And you look at him playing now, he almost feels similar to Lindelof, where they've something at the back of their head. I can't mess up.
Yeah.
It's my big chance.
Yeah.
And I think that's almost sad to see.
I think it wouldn't be surprising if when he does go and starts playing for whoever he goes to play for, he'll be unbelievable, and then everyone will be like, "Oh, why didn't Mourinho give him a chance?"
Yeah.
But something's just—it's not working for
him.
That's the thing.
It's not the first time you think of guys like De Bruyne and God knows who else.
Salah.
Yeah, Salah. You know, they've been reborn when they've left Mourinho. Whatever about the players who've kind of owed their careers to Mourinho, there's been loads, particularly young players who have come again. And Shaw is still so young that even after that injury, he's shown such resilience, and I think he still has a career at the top for sure. It just doesn't seem to be at United.
The strange thing is that with Shaw, a lot of people at United speak very positively about Seal and say he's working hard and all these, you know, very, you know, these platitudes that don't really mean a lot, but they clearly want him to do well. But the guy who matters most doesn't give him a look in. I mean, Kieran touched upon it there, Charlotte, that maybe he should go in January. United haven't extended his contract yet. They've got that option of an additional year. Is that the time to get rid of him, or do they need to keep him just as an extra body at the moment?
I don't think they need to keep him as an extra body, because he isn't getting used at all, is he? Like, it's only in drastic situations where he's even making the bench. Like, he's regular. You can guess he's going to be the one that's, if he's in a match day squad, like travelling squad, he's going to be the one that's going to be left out. So if a good enough offer comes in, I don't think there's any reason why they shouldn't cash in January for him.
The other interesting thing Mourinho said in the open section of his press conference was about the attacking intent of United, that Valencia and Young, you know, he said people know they're not even fullbacks. Looking ahead to next year, Tony Lincecoach, he said earlier about Valencia's age as well, and there are issues with his fatigue, he's not really playing many midweek matches. Do you think they need a fullback on both sides, or do you think that there are replacements from within? A lot of fans like Fosu Mensah and Tuanzebe, but do they need a specialist right back as well?
I'd say left back's probably going to be more of a priority, and if you're saying you need special, yeah, probably in the future he is going to need another specialist right back, but maybe you could go another season. I'd say definitely Valencia's definitely got another season in him. It's not like a crisis point, is it? Whereas left back, if Ashley Young hadn't stepped up to the plate this season,
they'd have had a problem.
They would, yeah. And every game it would have been like, oh, who's going to start? Rather than, he needs like a solid, like years ago when the team would pick itself, wouldn't it? And you'd know who, like Evra, every single game, he was going to start the game there. And they've not had that for a long time. So I think left back is probably a priority of a right back for now. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well with the right back situation, it wouldn't surprise me if a complete left field figure came in as a target, because with left
Fuck
back I'm genuinely interested
in it.
Yeah, because I think when you think of left back, it just seems inevitable that it's going to be Danny Rose.
Yes.
You know, that's been going on for ages, and I think it suits all parties. But
you could create your own transfer gossip here.
Yeah, David Express, please quote me.
Throw a name in.
with right back, yeah, I'm sure they've got names in mind. I think Valencia for sure can certainly be the starting right back for next season, but I think you've got to look at a younger alternative eventually. and the sooner you bed them in and ease them in, the better. Because I think it's similar with someone like Tierney at Celtic. In some ways he'd be brilliant because he's got the right age and that, but you're thinking you probably need someone natural in that position to hit the ground running. So I think if they could get someone along that age bracket for the right hand side and have Valencia bring him through, whether he speaks English or not, that'd be great.
I mean, as I said, like with Tunzini and Face Mensah, again, they're not right back specialists either there. So it is, I mean, there have been names like Thomas Meunier, but that's, I think, pretty much because he likes playing as United on FIFA or something like that.
Good enough reason to be there.
Yeah, I know. On the Bale defeat, United were pretty good without scoring in the first half. The second half, they tailed off before Pogba went off, I'd say, but drastically after he went off, which, you know, they do seem quite dependent on him. But do you think, Mourinho didn't really address it in his press comments, did you think the changes, I mean, particularly the Martial change as well, did that just seem to hand the initiative to Bale?
Yeah, I think United just dropped off. It's like, I don't know, it didn't look like they couldn't be bothered, but there was just no chances created again, and it was just all very slow, and it was like, oh, we're happy to knock the ball around and we're happy to sit here and get this 0-0 draw because then we're going to go through. And then it was like, oh no, like last minute goal, this didn't go to plan. And I think if that last minute goal hadn't gone in, they would have walked away like, yeah, solid away performance in the
great
Champions
winners,
League,
yeah.
Great winners, we've done it. And no one could have really argued with that, despite the fact the second half was dreadful to watch. But yeah, I just think there was no attacking impetus, was there? Definitely in the second half.
In the second half, no. Did Mr. and Mrs. Dunker catch the goal at the end, or had they turned over?
I'm a Celebrity on. I'm just speculating here before I get in a lot of trouble at home. But I actually did say in the second half, not just about Mr. and Mrs. Dunker, but all other, maybe other United fans might have got very bored with that second half and decided to put Amir Khan's Dennis Wise on ITV. But who knows?
Not that we're doing that at all. But
we would have if we could.
Yes, yeah, possibly. Another conspicuous absence, other than Luke Shaw, who at least made the bench in Bale, was Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Oh yeah, I've had some harsh words to say about him in the last few.
Yeah, I know. I know, but you kind of, from the United fan within you, got what you want in that he's been dropped the last two games. I think in two of United's four defeats this season, Mkhitaryan hasn't started. Does that suggest that he's not a problem?
I think he deserved to be dropped for the level of his performance, because he couldn't carry on playing like that and just keep walking straight back into the starting 11.
Yeah.
Something had to change.
Absolutely.
He really wasn't good enough. But everyone will be pleased to know I have done a piece saying why Mkhitaryan should start against Brighton, which, given he's had been dropped for the last two games, I just think there's three... It's busy week, isn't it? There's three games coming up this week. If he's anonymous again against Brighton, it's not going to be a total disaster, because United have got enough in the locker to beat Brighton at home, in my opinion, even with Mkhitaryan being anonymous again. Whereas I think away to Watford, would it affect the team more? Probably, and definitely away at the Emirates at the weekend. But if he comes back with a really good performance, I think a part of it's to do with confidence. As soon as he started having a few bad games, it just seemed to... Maybe his confidence dropped, and that's not going to help anybody, is it? So if he has a good game against Brighton, maybe gets a couple of assists or a goal or something like that, then plays again against Watford, it really could help for the game against Arsenal next weekend.
Yeah.
So I'd risk and chuck him back in again.
Great. We're recording this on Friday before the embargoed section. Mkhitaryan has touched upon that as well. A lingering issue with United, Kieran, is the right wing, which... ironically is where Mkhitaryan was bought to strengthen. He's not really played there this season. Is that an area he's now got to kind of like consider, well, maybe I need to go back there now?
Yeah, it's strange with him, because there were times at the start of the season, obviously, where he was getting the numbers and the stats that caught the eye, where he did go miss in inverted commas and he was quiet, but I think one of the key things he's able to do more than anyone that spot is come alive at the death and come alive with a pass when a defender is obviously tired. And once that kind of went out of his game, you know, I think it's that CSK game was probably his last really good game.
Yeah, agree.
And that's way back in September. Once you take that out of his game, you're kind of like, well, a lot of people were saying, oh, what does he actually bring? And I think that's what he's got to do as much as anything is, it's not so much the assists and goals, it's doing what, you know, potentially at the on the wing, what a Mourinho winger does, you know, the tracking back, the boring stuff that I think United fans do appreciate, you know. If Mkhitaryan is trying to be involved and trying to have an influence, that's what they're wanted to see. And with the right wing one, it's an interesting one because obviously with Mata, he's not a traditional one, doesn't cut to the byline. He floats in and around, similar to Mkhitaryan. So it might be interesting to see if they subtly swap positions. Would that help? Because obviously Mata made his name originally as a 10, and that's where he loves playing as well. But you're kind of looking at it out of the wings now, you're almost saying, well, Martial having been in and out of the team, maybe he's finally got a stranglehold on the other flank, and it's actually the right wing now that's become the problem, whereas, you know, not so long ago people were wondering who should play on the left. So it's tricky.
Could you see, I know a lot can happen between now and the end of the season, but come the start of next season, bearing in mind United are looking at Danny Rose to come into effect their attack, they're still interested in Bale, who operates from the right wing when he does play for Real Madrid. They still haven't ended their interest in Griezmann. You know, it seems like they want a few lefties there. But it's Mkhitaryan's going to have to perform awfully well between now and the end of the season to be a first team the next season, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. On paper, you would think Martial and Rashford have the best chance of getting into a front line if they are to sign one of those superstars. And for me personally, I think the 10 position is really important, that if they got a Griezmann to play off Lukaku, me personally, I'd rather have him than Bale. I think Bale, as amazing as he is, you just have those doubts that could really not go well. Whereas with Griezmann, his form, apart from the past month or so, has been really, really impressive for four seasons now. Bale, you're taking that risk, and I know it can
United
work.
United just can't quit him, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, teams have taken risks on, you know, glassy players before. You think of Robin before he went to Bayern Munich. I know, touched on that before, how injury prone he was, and he proved a really good signing. But I think with Bale, I don't think you're going to see that dynamism that he had at Spurs when the team was literally built around him.
It's almost as if like Real Madrid are thinking, there's this guy on a long contract who we spend a lot of money on, who's on a big wage, who doesn't get in our team, which suckers, who's also got a poor injury record, which suckers will sign him? Well, United will probably be interested. Is it almost as much kind of a reputational thing that United should back off away from that as much for footballing reasons to sign him?
Yeah, I think it'd be a really interesting to see in the summer, because you think in the past how maybe they've been guilty of going for kind of Galactico-like players and they've just gone past their peak. So something like Falcao or, even Di Maria arguably had his best days before he went to United.
Yeah.
And I think with Bale, that is a danger. Obviously, it'd be another state of intent. But for me personally, again, I think I put Griezmann in that kind of Pogba category where he's actually coveted by every club in the world, and it would be an actual coup, because you think of PSG, if they got him, they'd have Mbappe, Neymar, Griezmann. If Barcelona got him, they'd have Suarez, Messi and Griezmann.
Do you not think that's why they go to like someone like PSG? Like, you've just reeled off world-class name.
I was going to finish.
Sorry.
If United get Griezmann, United have Griezmann, Lukaku and Martial, maybe not in the Messi category, but it would be like a real statement to think, oh, we've got arguably one of Europe's best front lines officially now, rather than thinking, oh, do we play him right, him left, or him centre? It's like, you know, it's nailed on, because that's going to be the key in the Champions League already. You're seeing PSG blowing teams away, and that will probably continue.
And for all the money United have spent, they've not actually paid top dollar for a proven world-class attacker, which is likely to be an issue still. On a potential United attacker in the future, Andres Pereira playing, depending on when you listen to this, he'd have played against Barcelona for Valencia.
Got sent off.
Or, yeah, yeah, we don't know what his fortunes are.
Be more positive, Kieran.
I know, we keep, people, fans keep telling us to be positive, but they you know, they get negativity and reality confused quite often. But he has been doing quite well, Charlotte, in Spain, as he did last season.
Yes, which makes, I think, from United's perspective, his, obviously Mourinho didn't want him to go, did he?
No.
And the injury situation, obviously, when Pogba was out, made his Pereira's decision look a bit silly,
yeah,
really, because he would have got games. And if he'd impressed in them games, obviously, when United weren't impressing and weren't creating anything, if he could have filled some of the void that Pogba had left, that would have proved even more to Mourinho why he should be in the shout with starting, like, along. Obviously, he's not going to get Matic out of the team, but you know what I mean, he's going to be up there with Pogba all the time. So it's good to see, for him to see that he is doing well in Spain, but it still seems a bit of a ridiculous decision from him, bear in mind the injury crisis that United have had, to even go there in the first place. But I think you know a little more about how he's been doing over there, Kieran.
Pass it on. Yeah, I see the point. I think if he had gone on loan to, say, Newcastle under Benitez or something like that, maybe it would have made more sense, because I think some people would say, well, it's not proven in La Liga when he was arguably the one good point from Granada last season. Granada, I think, they only won like 5 games all season. They were really poor, so it was easy for him to look good in that team. But I think, to his credit, you know, Valencia are second in La Liga. They're 4 points off top spot going into this game. And he's been at the heart of it. He started, you know, 60% of their games this season, mainly playing on the wing, which I think is going to be interesting going forward for him, because he's, you know, spoken before, he's happy to play through the middle, but it seems that kind of dazzling dribbling style is never going to leave him. And you think Mourinho, quite purposefully in the 2 pre-seasons, he's played him as like a deep lying player, and quite tellingly on loan in Spain he's played as a winger. So you're kind of thinking, if United really want to have an impact on his loan move, maybe they would have instructed Valencia to play him through the middle. No, it's not unheard of for teams to have that influence, but I think
almost kind of like played his way out of a future United now, because you take into account his debut was in August 2014, so that's a long time ago now. He's spent 2 years on loan. If we're looking ahead to next summer, when he'll be probably on the pre-season tour with United, when they'll have depleted squad because of the World Cup, so he's at an advantage there. But he'll have played in La Liga for 2 years. United are going to sign more players. The competition's going to intensify. Is it almost as if he's kind of playing for a move to Spain rather than a future at United now?
Yeah. I remember reading someone that compared him and Soler, who obviously plays for Valencia as well, and that, you know, United could save themselves £40 million by just recalling Pereira. I don't know if it's as simple as that, really. I think you're looking at the positions that'll be up for grabs. So potentially Michael Carrick, you would think, may go or retire at the end of the season. Then you're looking at the wings, you know, could there be some movement there, whether it be Lingard or whoever.
Fellaini could leave as
well. Fellaini, so you're kind of thinking, the way I'd look at it would be, he's relying on departures at the moment, and even then that's before who they could bring in.
Yeah, because if they sign like a world class winger,
then
all he is going to be is a squad player.
Well, that's
he's not happy with that, then, and he sees his future in La Liga and he's playing week in week out, then you can't really argue with why he'd want to stay over there, really.
And you think how much the club already values Scott McTominay, who's done nothing wrong, and his improvement month by month has been pretty dramatic. Obviously Pereira, you know, a more naturally skillful player, but in terms of attitude, McTominay has been, you know, one of the great academy hopes, so he's got that to contend with. And you throw in a couple of signings in those positions and you're just scratching your head a bit, because he's not 16, he's, you know, he's coming up for 22, and he's really ambitious. It may be one of those where, like with Pogba, he'll have to go and potentially come back in a few years. It might be one of those.
It's not quite a Pogba star situation, would you say? I mean, in terms of the talent.
He's not on the same level, is he?
No.
I get the situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
There obviously are some comparisons in that he could like come back, but I think yeah, his future is probably going to be in La Liga. But he's made that future decision himself by demanding to go out on loan at the start of this season. If he really wanted to prove himself, then he should have stayed and tried to fight for his place, because at least then he tried. You could understand, like, then a year later if he's thought, yeah, well, I've had no game time, Mourinho doesn't trust in me, what's the point of sticking around here? I'm off, send me out on loan or sell me or whatever. Mm. But he came back after that impressive loan spell at Granada. Mourinho was willing to give him a chance, and he was like, no, I don't think you're going to give me big enough of a chance, send me out. And so I think that's probably, as long as Mourinho's there, I think that's probably going to be it.
Yeah.
It was telling you he was the only loan player coming back. You think it's like Guillermo Pereira, who was cast aside unmercilessly. He was the only one really to be given a shot when he came back, and I thought that was telling. And you know, Mourinho has spoken of him potentially being a United great, but I think it's all in his court now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, Mourinho, I think he bracketed him with Dimitri Mitchell, who last I saw on Instagram was nutmegging people in the street, which is not the kind of comparison Pereira would probably want to be bracketed with, but he's certainly a talent above some of the other United youngsters there. Again, depending on when you're listening to this, it could be after United have lost against Brighton and Watford. It could be after United have beaten Brighton and Watford. But I suppose the relevant question, Charlotte, would be, do United need to win these next three Premier League matches to have any chance of winning the league?
Yeah.
And I know that sounds soon, but of course we're building up to that derby on the 10th of December.
I think yes, because I can't, the way City are playing, I can't see them slipping up. The City Leicester game, there was a moment and I thought, oh, is this going to be it when City actually don't win and then United can capitalise on these drop points? And then you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah, that tapping.
And then here he comes.
Yeah,
great team goal. And then De Bruyne again, and you're like, great, no, comfortable win where you thought they might have gone and dropped points. So because I can't see City dropping any points, United have to win every single game.
You can't
game.
See them dropping any points.
I can, but because if you've been hopeful for the derby, you'd at least hope United could maybe get a draw out of it. But yeah, I do think they'll drop points, but my point is if United are going to leapfrog them, given that City are already 8 points ahead, to keep up the pressure on them, United have got to win every single game.
Does it say a lot about the maybe chasm or gulf, are too strong words, but certainly the gap between City and United, that City went to Watford and battered them 6-0. United going there next week, you're not certain that they're going to even win that game.
Yeah, you'd think maybe like a edgy 2-1 victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're lucky. Yeah, I think, well, City have been demolishing teams this season, and United, I know it's all the comparisons, even Eric Cantona's been at it, hasn't he, because he's got his book out, so he's talking to everybody.
Everybody apart from the written press, of course.
Yeah, everyone who's got a video camera.
Yeah.
And he's obviously come out and said he loves Jose, but he loves the way City are playing, and I just think that the other Premier League teams can't cope with that full-on attacking play. They're just, I'm not saying they're standing off and City aren't very good. City are playing very well, but the way they're playing and demolishing all these teams, it's just not something United are capable of at the minute. Even when United are winning like 4-0 at the start of the season, their performances then compared to how City are playing, there's no comparison in the way that they're playing. Like, yes, they were convincing victories from United, but they weren't. It still wasn't like demolishing the teams in the way that City are doing. So I do think there is a big gulf there. Am I convinced that United can't catch City up? No, I'm not, because I don't think City will go the whole season unbeaten. But it's just waiting for that moment where you think the wheels are going to come off, and at the moment they're not.
Is it a bit of a reputational thing as well? I mean, City are brilliant, but they're playing Huddersfield on Saturday, and Huddersfield obviously beat United, deservedly so. But I would be surprised if Huddersfield managed to match that performance level against City.
Yeah,
because they were.
Yeah, they always.
Let's face it, they are a smaller
club.
United have that massive reputation. When they come to town, you want to put on a show for your fans.
Yeah.
So if they benefit from that, City.
maybe a little bit, but City are have been very impressive this season. But that's been the case for years at Old Trafford, isn't it? These teams come and they're going to get relegated and they literally play the game of their life.
Yeah.
Like the goalkeepers especially.
Richard Dunn was surprised, play
out of their skin and you're like, where has that come from? Like if they played like that week in, week out, you wouldn't be getting relegated.
They
come there and they like fully up their game, but maybe if City walk away with it this season, that'll be next season that they'll be suffering from that as well because they'll be the team to beat.
Yeah. The one who really does irk me is that Stoke striker, is it Choupo-Moting, who scored twice. I don't think he scored since against anyone since those two goals against United. We will leave it there for this week. Thank you very much to Charlotte and to Kieran. Thank you also for listening. Our podcasts are available to subscribe from on Audio Boom or iTunes. And if you could please give us a review on iTunes, that would be greatly appreciated since that apparently boosts our ranking on the podcasts. Thank you very much for listening.